Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a whole lot going on in today's gospel reading. Jesus goes home, presumably to Capernaum, and the crowd gathers again. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. They hope that he will bring healing to them, maybe cast out some demons, and later on in the reading we can imply that's exactly what he does. His family hears about everything Jesus is doing, and they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind, he is bonkers, he has lost it. Because they cannot understand why Jesus is doing the things that he is. After all, his brothers, his relatives grew up with him. He was just that carpenter's kid. He worked in his dad's carpentry shop, and he didn't seem to be anyone special then. And yet now here he is, preaching and teaching, wandering about Galilee. He's left his home, he's left his family. The family knows that the scribes and Pharisees are already speaking against him, and why would anyone do these things unless he were out of his mind, unless he were insane? So the family is going out to seize Jesus and bring him back. There were no mental asylums then, no psychiatric units, but they were going to do the best that they could to get Jesus to quit doing these things. In a sense, they were like the devil, who in the garden, in the wilderness, tried to get Jesus to be a different kind of Christ, not God's kind of Christ, and tried to tempt Jesus to be another kind of Christ than what God intended him to be, a suffering Christ, a Christ who dies for the sins of his people, a Christ who died for you and for me. And imagine what would have happened if his family had been successful and seized him and brought him back to Nazareth and held him there, and he had decided to take up the carpentry business as his half-father Joseph did. There would have been no cross, there would have been no forgiveness of sins, there would have been no victory over sin, death, and the devil. Well, not only did Jesus' family think he was nuts, but the scribes who came down from Jerusalem to inspect this Jesus, to evaluate him, to see what was going on, were saying and continued to say, why? He's possessed by Beelzebul, that is the devil, the lord of the flies. And by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. You see, they too thought there was something wrong with Jesus, but their accusations against him were much more serious than those accusations or those thoughts that his family had about him. At any rate, on both sides there was rejection of Jesus, rejection of his saving ministry, rejection of the fact that he was God's son become man, that he had been sent by God as the savior of the world. His family thought he was nuts, just as some people think it's nuts for Christians to believe what they believe, what we confess in the creeds, what we believe the scripture teaches about Jesus. And the scribes thought he was possessed by the devil. In our day, people view Christianity as some satanic thing, that Christians are benighted, ignorant fools, and certainly sometimes people who wear the name of Christian act that way. But those who truly follow Christ in the way of repentance and faith, those who recognize they are sinners, do not act that way. Instead, they recognize Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, as their Lord, as the one who has rescued them from sin, death, and the devil. So, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He casts out demons, the scribes accuse Jesus of, and Jesus has a comeback to them. He called them to him, and he said to them in parables, okay, how can Satan possibly cast out Satan? Why would Satan want to get rid of himself when he has control over a person's life? If a kingdom, and Jesus means Satan's kingdom, is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If Satan is casting out Satan, his kingdom is divided and it is destroyed. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And what Jesus says is true of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. It's also true of the church. If the church is divided against itself, the church will not be able to stand. That's exactly why there should be no division in the Christian church, no division between brothers and sisters, no division between members of the congregation. But Jesus goes on to say, if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is coming to an end. Well, yes, Satan is coming to an end. His power, his might, his hold over the human race. It came to an end when Christ was crucified for you for the forgiveness of sins. He came to an end in his control over your life when you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because see, in baptism, you were united to Jesus' death and his resurrection. His death and resurrection are his victory over Satan, his means of dispelling Satan's might and his hold on you. And then Jesus says something interesting. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. In Bible class, I asked who the strong man was, and I received the answer, Jesus. And yet, it can't be Jesus, because our Lord speaks of binding the strong man. The strong man is Satan. The strong man is the serpent. In today's Old Testament reading, the serpent who enticed Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and ultimately enticed Adam to do the same thing. God speaks his judgment upon the serpent in the Old Testament reading. He says that he is cursed above all livestock, above all the beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And it's interesting that when God speaks his judgment upon Adam, he says, dust you are and dust you shall return. But here's the promise, the most wonderful promise of all after Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. Again, God is speaking judgment upon the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, or her your seed and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The seed of the woman is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Every other time in Scripture, seed is mentioned in the context of the children that result from the union of man and woman. It refers to the man's seed. But here, unique in Scripture, it refers to the woman's seed, to Jesus, because our Lord Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit without any involvement by a human father. And this seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head or crush the serpent's head, but the serpent shall bruise the seed of the woman's heel. This took place in the crucifixion of Jesus, and it seemed that the serpent had won when Christ our Lord was crucified, died, and was buried. But this is the means of Jesus entering the strong man's, Satan's house, and plundering his goods. You and I were the strong man's goods. But Jesus, by his death and resurrection, rescued us. He set us free through the forgiveness of sins so that we are no longer part of that kingdom of darkness. We are members of that kingdom of light. We are a kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of which our Lord Jesus Christ is the King. And again, Christ has plundered the devil of us who were once the devil's goods. Jesus goes on to say, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man. After all, Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies against God they will utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to faith in Christ. You know it, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts and sanctified me and keeps me in the true faith. You see, we no longer walk in that kingdom of darkness. We have been enlightened by the gospel to see the light of Christ and the love of God toward us, the mercy of God our Father. So to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is to deny the Holy Spirit's work in our redemption. It is to resist the Holy Spirit. And whoever does that and persists in it is blaspheming against the Spirit, who is the one who brings us to faith in Christ. And he can't have forgiveness as long as he persists in that state. And as long as he persists in that state, and if he dies in that state, he is guilty of an eternal sin. So his mother and his brothers came at this time, and standing outside the house where Jesus is apparently in teaching, they sent to him and called him. Now, I kind of doubt that Mary was there because she thought Jesus was nutso, because after all, she had seen many, many great things. She knew that she had not conceived Jesus by a man, but by the Holy Spirit. She had heard the angels sing. She had heard her kinswoman Elizabeth say, "Why has the mother of my Lord come to me?" She had heard the shepherd's testimony. She knew who Jesus was. So maybe she came along just to keep his relatives in line when they came to take him back home. "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And here's This is something important for you and me, because Jesus kind of renounces human relationship here as the ultimate thing. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Who, you could say, are my sisters? You could also say, who is my wife? Looking about at those who sat around him, maybe they were poor, maybe they were underprivileged, having no status in society, but he exalts them to a very high status indeed, because he says, looking at them, here, right here are my mother and my brothers. Here, right here are my sisters. Here, right here is my bride, the very bride of Christ, who delights in hearing his word. Here is my spouse, the Holy Christian Church. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother and spouse, which is what the Holy Christian Church does. The will of God is this, your salvation and your redemption. The will of God is this, that you no longer belong to the devil's kingdom, for after all, Christ has plundered that kingdom. And he has plundered the devil's goods, and you are those goods. Christ did this at great cost. His heel was bruised. He was crucified. He was tormented. He was tortured. He was mocked. He died a horrible death under God's judgment. But by doing so, he bound the strong man so that the devil no longer has claim upon you. And you, you here at Mount Olive, you who do the will of God, believing in Jesus, are his brother and sister and mother, and you are members of the body of Christ, his bride. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.